a foot or more of snow in central Pennsylvania, and the storm is moving into New England. Forecasters say up to a foot of snow may fall in parts of Massachusetts, while Maine could see blizzard conditions today. For the first time in more than a month, a diesel fuel shipment has reached Gaza from Israel. AP Middle East correspondent Mark Levie has more.
It's the first fuel shipment to reach Gaza in 45 days, long before the winter storm that has left many there homeless. The Palestinian Authority in the West Bank refuses to supply Gaza with fuel because it's run by Hamas. Israel offers to sell fuel, but Hamas says it doesn't have the money. So oil-rich Qatar paid for the shipment from Israel. The storm is mostly over, but Jerusalem is still covered with snow. So are Syria and Jordan, where dozens of refugees from the Syrian civil war have died in the freezing cold. I'm Mark Levie.
I'm Tim McGuire, AP Radio News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now. Hey, everybody, this is Nikki Nellis. I am beastless today. Well, I'm sort of beastless. I've got a different beast in studio. Fellow diva, Jeff Black, has joined me in studio.
Hello.
He is in today. We've ripped him away from the opening of his new restaurant, Republic, in Tacoma Park.
Yes.
Spending multiple hours.
Long hours. Well, new place is a great break from opening a new restaurant. So
excellent.
Well, thank you for having me.
We appreciate you joining us today. So David is home. He's got a bum knee. Got knee replacement surgery, so he's out for the count. And the show is mine, all mine. Well, and Jeff Black's as well. So we have a great show today. Good people with us. Clearly, I've got Jeff Black with me in studio, and Lucas Paya is here. He is the wine director for all the Jose Andres Think Food Group restaurants. That's not just domestically, but internationally as well. And right, internationally, you're in Puerto Rico. I guess that's
Puerto
the United
Rico.
States.
Correct.
So I guess that's all domestic. Mm-hmm. Not international yet, right?
Not yet.
Okay, but they did buy some rare, expensive wines owned by Veran Adria.
Correct.
And we're going to find out all about them and how you can get some at the Haleo downtown. Also with us today on the phone will be Evan Wexler. He's with Steakhouse Elite. Now, they specialize in Northern American Wagyu beef products. Jeff Black has a lot of questions about it, and we're going to get to it on air.
Very good. Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Do you want to introduce our next guest?
Lucas?
No. Jamie Stokowski, good friend of yours.
Jamie Stokowski is a good friend of mine. Probably makes the best sausages on the whole East Coast. I was very, very thrilled to see that he's a guest today. And his products are just, they're phenomenal.
Well, we're going to get to taste his products in studio. And with him is Chef Jacob Esco. Now, he's the chef at the Grill Room over in the new Capella Hotel. It's a very swanky hotel over in Georgetown. And I sort of think of Jamie as like the Abe Froman of D.C. Does anybody know who Abe Froman is?
Yes.
Okay, good. When I said that to David,
you're
he was
totally
like...
dating yourself.
Okay, but... David was like, nobody's going to know what that means. Do you know what it means, Elaine?
I don't.
Oh my God, have you never seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off? He's the Chicago King.
The King of Chicago.
This is the Sausage Abe King Froman. Of Chicago, exactly.
He's the Sausage King. It's the whole show's built on this.
Okay,
he
never mind.
Reservation, the whole thing.
I have totally
anyway,
dated
it's,
myself.
It's very funny.
All right. And
see the movie.
Thank
Everybody,
you.
See the movie.
Robert Hayek with GMB Importers is in today to talk about Bulgariana wines and wines from Bulgaria, correct?
Correct.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
So I want to start with you because we had you, we had dinner with you a couple months back at Blue Duck Tavern, and you poured all these wonderful wines from Bulgaria. And not we, Jeff Black and I, but David and I had dinner with you.
Well, I got cut out.
Yes, you got cut out of that one. But you really informed us about this tremendous history that Bulgaria has with wines that I don't think a lot of people know about. So why don't you start off there with us, please?
Yes, I was actually, thank you, Nikki. I was telling Jeff that
our wine is very egalitarian. It was Bulgariana brand was born out of basically my dual passion, one for U.S., I'm a naturalized American, and for history. And my grandma always used to say, you don't know the past, you can't anticipate the future. And life accidentally threw me into Bulgaria. I worked there for 4 years, came to appreciate the country, love the culture, and understand the language. And I discovered wine. I actually never drunk before that, and I was an athlete. That was a health nut. And I thought,
okay, you're talking to a studio that does not understand that at all.
Oh, believe me, that all changed. And through history of Bulgaria, I came to appreciate wine, strangely enough, because I discovered that on the territory of current Bulgaria, Thracians were one of the first known winemakers. Thracian wine was mentioned in Homer's Iliad, in Odysseus blinds Cyclops by giving him Thracian wine that was very heavy and puts him to sleep and finally able to blind him so he would stop eating his semen.
Now we're talking about the original Homer, right?
Oh, of course.
For those listening, not the Homer that you're used to.
No, it's an amazing region. It's unfortunately a poor country. It's a European Union country, but economically poor, but heritage-wise and culture-wise, extremely rich. Wine permeates every aspect of Bulgarian life, from religion to festivities that they conduct in villages. And actually, the label was created partly as an amalgam of... We wanted to make something very jazzy, something modern that Americans can relate to. So we took the folk dancers... attributes and combine into this elegant design, which we like, and a lot of focus groups, especially women, like it. And that was sort of my way of trying to bring very good quality, very egalitarian wine that is not very expensive, like Lucas's wines. They're like the Bentleys.
Throw Lucas under the bus. Go ahead.
No. They're an important part of the wine hierarchy. They are the Bentleys. They are the Ferraris. They are handmade. They are handpicked.
But your wines are still. We're still talking about. They're vinifera wines.
Oh, absolutely.
They're of the same grape varietal that we as Americans consume mostly from New World and Old World sources. Exactly. And so
absolutely.
So you're not introducing things that are out of the scope of what Americans have consumed. So
no,
you're doing great stuff, and you should be proud of that.
You're absolutely correct. Actually, one of the reasons we tried to find, through a rigorous process of producer search, varietals and producers that can sort of accommodate the American taste. There are special standards, there are requirements.
Okay, we're going to get back to you in a little bit.
Sure.
Because we're going to talk to you throughout the show. So why don't you tell us first what kind of wine you're going to pour for us? And then when we come back to you, what I'd love to do is find out what kind of grapes you're actually growing in Bulgaria.
Absolutely. We're going to pour our first Thracian white blend, which is a combination of Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Riesling, and a Gewürztraminer.
Okay, terrific.
Beautiful.
You can pour
Beautiful.
For everybody.
Fantastic.
All right. So next we are bringing in Lucas Paya.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Lucas.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So you were with Think Food Group restaurant.
Food Group.
Yeah. Yes.
It's Jose's restaurant group.
And you are the beverage director for the entire company.
I'm the wine director for the
wine
restaurant
director.
Group.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about you, because I know that you've worked in several very high-end restaurants. So give us a little bit of your background.
Well, I started to work as a sommelier back in 1999 in Barcelona. I'm originally from there. And then I went to London. I worked for Alain Ducasse. Spoon restaurant at the Sanderson Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, back to Spain because El Bulli happened to...
He has a terrible pedigree.
I have to interrupt real quick. I don't know. Somebody just wafted a plate of delicious smelling sausage.
I know, and then took it away from you.
And then took it away. So I'm like sitting here thinking, okay, I'm either drinking good wine or I'm eating good sausage.
But I haven't opened my bottle yet. I haven't opened my bottle.
Okay.
So from London, I found out that El Bulli was looking for sommeliers back in 2001. So I applied, and then I got the job. So from 2002 through 2007, I worked as a sommelier at El Bulli. Jose Andres is, as we know, a dear friend, Ferran's dear friend, and I would like to say the the ambassador for France cuisine here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's a very fair assessment.
And a representative of that style. So Jose would always come every year, maybe once, twice, spend some time with us. And that was a natural evolution. I mean, after spending 5 years in El Bulli, coming to the U.S. and working for Jose was just, you know.
See how it rolls off his tongue?
I know. I can't say it correctly.
It sounds terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
It sounds a little French, actually. It sounds a little French. But
so, Lucas, now that you're here in the States and you've been working with Think Food Group, tell us about, you know, this huge auction at Sotheby's that you went up with Rob Wilder to, right?
Correct. Yeah, Rob Wilder is our CEO for the mm-hmm. company. And this is back in April when El Bulli auctioned out some of the wines that they had at the cellar.
And they were doing that for what? What was the
for
reason?
For El Bulli Foundation.
Okay.
El Bulli closed its doors in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working on reopening as a foundation.
Okay.
And what will you support with the foundation?
The idea is that they're going to be like a culinary center for research, science, and
that's fantastic.
And training people and sharing thoughts and techniques and things like that. So that's scheduled for 2015.
You went up to buy these wines. Why? I mean,
because Ferran was trying to get some funds. Some financial
assistance,
you know, to be able to fulfill this dream, and then they thought that selling some of the wines they had in the cellar was a good idea. No?
Okay, I spend a lot of money on wine, but I will tell you that I am going to drag my feet when somebody tells me that I'm going to buy a Spanish.
Say it.
A Lyon.
Ah, I got that right. Wow.
It's right behind you.
$2,000?
It's right behind you.
But it's a 3-liter. So there's a lot of wine.
Okay, well, help.
Excuse me. And it's signed.
All my friends are going to get drunk,
and not only
too.
That, it's also, yeah.
It's signed.
Nikki pointed out, it's signed by both Julie Soran and
so, other than the signature, because I don't really pay for signatures.
You don't pay for the signatures?
I don't.
He's a pain
some
in
people
the neck,
will.
Is what he is.
I'm a real pain in the neck.
Some people will.
So if I'm not paying for a signature, what am I buying with this?
Well, this is 100% Tempranillo from Ribera del Duero.
I've had lots of Tempranillos. Very good ones.
This is 3 liters of wine. And this is by Bodegas Vega Sicilia, which is arguably the most important, most renowned winery in Spain.
Very good.
So Vega Sicilia started this project back in early 90s. And this is their wine.
And what vintage are we looking at here?
98.
I'm looking at
98.
So it has some age.
It's got some age. It's got some very good age on it. So, right. So how do these wines do with age? They're
good.
They take it like a Bordeaux. I mean, they want the time.
Bordeaux is a good comparison. I mean, this is a classic estate.
Yeah, you're
estate
not too growing. Far away.
Yeah. No, not too far away. And the style.
I don't think Americans realize.
Well, I was just going
to
say
how close these wine regions are to each other. In
right.
Europe, you trip out of one into another one.
This is like DC. Boston, no?
Right.
Right, but Americans don't really know. Like, I don't think Americans give respect to Spanish wines the same way they do for French or Italian wines.
Yeah, very true.
So how do you educate your consumer, and the general public for that matter, about the quality of these Spanish wines and why they're worth so much money?
Well, I don't think Spain is that a known wine-producing country anymore. So it's third in line, I would say, in the U.S. Well, maybe fourth after California, France, Italy. Now Spain comes fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Spain's red hot, though.
Spain's hot, but not for
expensive wines.
No,
you're known for good wines. People are happy to spend maybe $25 on a bottle of Spanish wine, not in a restaurant, but in a store. But I think it's like Virginia wines. People see a very expensive Virginia wine and they just don't know that these
really
wines are
point.
Worth it.
Yeah, and I like to say that, Spain is still that country with great value wines. So you always expect a very affordable,
that blade cuts both ways. So
right.
you want to give good quality at a good price, and then all of a sudden you say, well, but we have this really special wine that is worth more money.
Right. And again,
so, the French have been probably smarter than most, I would say, in the world
of marketing
their top-end stuff. And it's hard because in Spain and Italy, I travel in Europe quite a bit. And I will tell you, I love Spain. I go to Spain quite a bit. And you can drink great wine for a reasonable amount of money.
Correct. I completely agree with that. Nevertheless, there are a few wineries that became world-class wineries. Mm-hmm. This is one of them. And that you can find a few wines that, are worth $500, $1,000, $2,000.
Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk about these $500 wines and the ones that you specifically bought at the auction up at Sotheby's.
Right on.
Okay, this is Nikki Nellis. David is not here. I got Jeff Black with me. We're in studio. We're talking very expensive Spanish wines and reasonably priced wines from Bulgaria. We'll be back in just a sec.
Cheers.
If talking and texting interferes with a walk down the street, imagine what might happen if you're driving. Focus on the road, not your conversation. Your brain can't do both safely. No dialing, no talking, no texting to arrive safe.
Hi, I'm Brooke Delaney.
And I'm Congressman John Delaney.
As a teen, I know not to text while driving. My dad and I ask you to focus on the road, not your conversation.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
In today's competitive job market, imagine not having the reading skills needed to even fill out an application. 90,000 adults in D.C. are considered functionally illiterate. It takes a lot for an adult to admit they can't read. It takes even more courage to do something about it. The Washington Literacy Center teaches adult learners to read, giving them options and a bright future. Please give back to the community by donating today. Go to WashingtonLiteracyCenter.org and make your much-needed charitable contribution. Changing lives through literacy. WashingtonLiteracyCenter.org.
Hi, I'm Rory Coakley with Coakley Realty. Did you know that Big Brothers Big Sisters utilizes over 100 plus years experience to deliver life-changing mentoring to at-risk children? Big Brothers Big Sisters helps vulnerable kids reach their full potential through one-to-one mentoring relationships. Please join me in supporting this excellent cause by going to bbbsnca.org and make a contribution. That's bbbsnca.org. Consider it done.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, this is Nikki Nellis. We're back on with Foodie and the Beast. And we have with us Jeff Black. He's co-hosting with me today.
Hello, hello, hello.
And he's given all of our guests a hard time already this morning.
Oh, yeah. You know I will. That's my MO. Well, give him a hard time.
We are back with Lucas Paya, who is with Think Food Group. And he is talking about all these fabulous Spanish wines he bought at an auction up in Sotheby's. The auction was from El Bulli.
A pretty prestigious house.
Right. And you actually helped buy some of these wines.
Correct. Yeah, some of the wines that...
it's like getting your children
back,
right?
At Jaleo DC, I bought them myself, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
It's crazy.
So were there some, as you were looking at the list, that you were like, I want that one. I have to have that one. What would like?
Or did you have any
during the auction?
Yes.
Did you have any that you didn't want?
That's a great question. Yeah, but nobody noticed.
Good.
So
you got the pick of the litter.
Yeah, we had two paddles. One was for ourselves, Rob and myself, and then the other one was for El Bulli.
For Jaleo.
Right, exactly.
He's a very honest man, right?
For Jaleo. And then we bought for both. I mean, our selection was more like global, if you will. That we had wines from Bordeaux,
smart.
Burgundy,
mm-hmm.
you know, everywhere. And the wines that we picked for Jaleo were all Spanish.
Okay.
Of course.
Smart. So tell us about, like, were there, as you were looking at the list at Sotheby's, what was the top two wines that you were like, we have to have this at Jaleo?
Great question. I mean,
I'm full of great questions.
When you are, when we are at an auction, you need to be careful with that because everybody may think the same way. So,
right.
And then it starts to, go up.
As a person who's been to a lot of auctions, so the best thing you want is two people that want the same thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's all you want.
And then we had an idea of what we wanted, which is, the prestigious ones. I mean, everything that was on sale for sale was great.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted a specific variety.
Right.
So we wanted like big formats like this. We wanted an array of producers and grapes and regions and
but specifically
can
what
you
was
give
your
us two. Right.
Give us your gut. Like something you just had to have.
I really wanted that bottle.
This one?
Yeah.
Well, I'm keeping that bottle. Yeah, so what else did you want?
You owe me $2,000.
This is
like
mine.
$2,000.
I didn't mention this to you when you came in, but you bring it in here, I get to keep it.
No.
I'm the guest host.
That's his parting gift.
It's actually my contract.
Are we going to drink it in your restaurant?
No, I'm going to take it home.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll follow you.
Okay. We'll have a party. Come on over.
Well, let me ask you, Lucas.
Nikki, do you want to come? We're going to have a big party.
Excuse me. It's my show. You bet I get to come.
Everybody's coming. I'm bringing
Lucas, let me ask you, and Jeff, this goes to you, too. The big format bottles, do people really order them in restaurants? I don't see a lot of it, so I'm just sort of curious. Like a 3-liter bottle of wine, do a lot of these get...
Very special occasions.
Special occasions, or large parties. I mean, does that make sense?
People sometimes don't understand that these are only 4 bottles. This is a double magnum.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's only 4 bottles.
It's only 4
so
bottles.
You and I, we're good.
I think I can finish
if
this
you're
in
a
an hour.
10 people party.
By myself.
I mean, you can do that.
Right.
Anyways, magnums are also hard to sell sometimes, and they're only... 2 bottles.
Right.
And we all repeat and order twice the same bottle, so why don't you order a magnum instead?
The same mentality that applies to a single guest buying a bottle of wine applies to a party buying a big bottle of wine. There's a mentality in America, and I don't mean to cut you off, but
he's going to
as
anyway.
An American restaurateur, I'm going to cut you off and tell you how American palates work.
Okay.
We have this stigma that we should just have a bottle of wine on a table for 2 or 4 or 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is those 4 people might sit and have 3 bottles of wine.
Right.
Whereas you have a party of 6 and you have this bottle that has basically 4 bottles of wine in it, which is really good quality wine.
Right.
You're not really overindulging, but you're gonna look like you are. And it's a perception thing. And that's why half bottles work in America. That's why glass pours work in America.
Interesting.
It's just... It's a lot of
less is less,
and
instead
more,
of less
the
is
more
one.
Bottles you open, the more chances you have for them to be tainted, maybe.
Sure.
So if you open 4 bottles of wine of the same wine, maybe 2 are a little different, a little off.
All right,
like
do we have to tell a really bad catering story?
No, we don't.
So I'm a young culinary student. I'm sorry.
You got to make it fast.
Okay. I'm a young culinary student, and I'm going to make this really fast. I'm working for a caterer, and I go into this guy's house, and he looks like he works for the mob. Mm-hmm. He should be on television, and he's got the largest bottle of champagne I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
It's like 4 feet tall, and he wants me to open it in front of all his guests, and I open
saber it.
And it's flat.
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
It's flat. And I thought he was going to throw me off the cliff because he's a mobster.
That's not your fault.
Fortunately for me, he didn't throw me off the cliff.
But that bottle could be faulty, too.
But yes,
I know.
You can have
it
faulty
could be
big bottles. And faulty big bottles cost a lot more.
It's true.
To be faulty.
Okay, well, so tell people where they can find these fabulous wines here in D.C.
Haleo D.C., which is in downtown Pinkwater District. We have them.
Not Haleo, Montgomery County.
No, D.C.
No, we have 4 Haleos in the country, but this is only in Haleo, D.C.
Okay.
Back page of the list, there is a little story at front. But it's about, 100 bottles, 30 labels. And I want to say that, they look pricey to you, but they're at great price.
Oh, I know they are. I know
that.
I know the quality. Every dollar of that is backed
up
by quality.
We did a research on what the market price would be, and then we just did a slight markup on that. So I want to encourage our guests to, come down, check out the list, because they're amazing.
Well, Lucas, thank you so much for joining us today. Do you want to just give everybody the Think Food Group website for Haleo so people can check it out online?
Haleo.com.
Okay, excellent.
The wine list is there, too.
Excellent.
Go check it out.
All right, great. Thank you for
thank
joining
you so
us
much.
Today.
Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, and I believe we have Evan Wexler on the phone. Evan, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Evan. Hi, this is Nikki Nellis. And we are joined today. My co-host, David Nellis, is out with a bum knee. So lucky you. We've got Chef Jeff Black of Black Restaurant Group joining me as my co-host. Say
hi,
Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I am fantastic.
So, Evan, you are with Steakhouse Elite. You've been in the cattle business for a long time. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you and where you came up with this company?
Well, I've been in the meat business, or the meatpacking industry, since I'm about 16 years old. I am I'm 49 now, so I've been in the industry close to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I've always been known for being ahead of industry trends. My dad and myself years ago had a company that was very generic to what the competition around us did.
Mm-hmm.
My dad retired about 15 years ago, and I realized, hey, if I'm going to go and sell everything that everybody else is selling, I'm probably going to get gobbled up and spit out. Let me get a little creative. Let me take a good look at the industry and try to do what everybody else is not doing.
So what was the hole? What did you see that people were not doing?
Well, first, organic and natural products hadn't really hit the market yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty much the main thoroughway to all these small farmers in the area, in the Northeast here. Applegate Farms, Bell and Evans, Murray's Chickens,
mm-hmm.
That all wanted to see their products come to market. And I was that guy that said, hey, I'll showcase your product. I'll get it to the supermarkets. Our business at that point transformed from delis and diners and restaurants into more big retailers.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I got it.
So this is what, like 20 years ago? 15 years ago?
Back 15 into the late 90s.
Okay.
And at that point, I started getting into more artisanal and gourmet products, and Kobe beef was, or what we now call American Wagyu beef, was next on my hit list.
So real quick, Evan, how long have you been doing the Wagyu?
The Wagyu I've been doing for over probably almost 15 years now.
Okay, and so for people who don't know, what is the difference between Kobe and Wagyu, and is Wagyu just American? Like, can you explain the differences between the names?
The way I explain it to people is Tyrannosaurus Rex walked this planet,
mm-hmm.
and Kobe beef never walked this planet. There really is no such thing as Kobe beef. In Japan, it's Wagyu beef.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, it's Wagyu beef. It's the same exact animal. The only thing is the stuff in Japan, it has to be slaughtered in one of two, or they have two different slaughterhouses there.
Mm-hmm.
And the town of Kobe, the animals have to come from those areas, slaughtered in those plants. And at that point, once they're turned into a steak cut, or Wagyu beef coming from Japan that's turned into a steak cut, is then known as Kobe beef. Here we raise it, the same Wagyu beef, and we'll call it American-style Kobe beef or American Wagyu beef.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual animal itself is the same exact animal.
But your technique is not the same as Japan, correct?
No, the technique is a little bit different, and, you know, due to some standards, you know, from the USDA, we raise our cattle a little shorter of a period of time than they do in Japan, where they can go to 36 to 38 months, which adds a little more fat to the meat. Here we go 26 to 28 months. But the consumer itself, we don't really want very, very fatty meat in the United States.
Do you think PETA would work in Japan?
PETA?
Yes.
Probably not.
Because PETA's not going to allow you to do what the Japanese do.
No. I mean, and these cattle in Japan, I mean, reasonably, they're treated very, very, very well.
Yes,
they're
they
small
are.
Small herds, you know.
They're
the
treated like gods.
Is that they feed them sake, they massage them with sake, or they feed them beer.
It doesn't sound like a bad way to live, quite frankly.
They treat them like gods.
They get massaged. I mean, in the United States, we also raise them in small herds. They're slightly slower.
Do you massage your cows?
I might pet them when I go to the ranch every now and then. I like to keep the massages to myself.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
So, Evan, tell us a little bit about the products that you guys are doing. Because right now what you've got is burgers and ground beef and hot dogs. Is
yes.
this something Steakhouse Elite, are you looking to expand? And why just these specific products?
Well, Steakhouse Elite is expanding rapidly right now. We're in a variety of, or more than a variety of, large retailers. We realize that the flavor that Kobe beef or American Wagyu beef offers is kind of brings beef back to the way beef should have tasted a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there really isn't enough of it to go around as 100% Wagyu beef or 100% Kobe beef burger. And we decided we're going to blend our product without, you know, losing the attributes of the American-style Kobe beef in our burger. And we did a couple of different blends. We put our product in a awesome-looking retail package, which in retail, eye appeal is buy appeal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one that you buy something that looks great, but when you get it home, if it doesn't perform as well as it looks, you know,
yes, of course,
not really working. We kind of have a Cadillac package with a Rolls Royce inside.
Okay.
And
quick question.
If I
buy your hot dog, can I keep kosher?
Probably not. We're not kosher, but there is some kosher.
Neither
Wagyu.
Is he.
I'm definitely not. I see beef franks. I always
kosher,
ask that question.
There is kosher Wagyu being produced out there right now.
Okay.
It's a small segment, but it is out there. Our hot dog, and, you know, we're not really in the hot dog industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're more in the beef industry. Our hot dog was out for a short amount of time. Food and Wine magazine got a hold of it, and we came in third place out of a variety of
congratulations.
Brands. Third place isn't so bad.
So now, who is your intended consumer? Are you looking just more for the general public, or are you looking to hit restaurants?
We veer away from more of the food service end. The mm-hmm. food service end doesn't build our brand. We don't want to just be a great burger on a menu. We want to be known as the best burger, and we want to be known as Steakhouse Elite. I guess what we say when everybody else is trying to make a burger better, we make a better burger.
Okay.
Oh, that's great.
We're going to have to take a quick break, but can you tell everybody, please, where they can find your products and where they can find you online?
Well, we are setting up now to sell our product online, but we are in Public Supermarket, King Supermarket, Balducci's, Food Emporium, A&P, Fresh Direct, Morton Williams.
So you're around.
Stop and Shop is on its way to setting our products up. And
do you have a site, a website we could look at?
Yes, www.steakhouseelite.com.
All right, great.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Well, this is Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast, and I've got Jeff Black as my co-host. When we get back, we're going to be talking other kinds of meat. We've got Jamie Stokowski in studio with all of his sausages and Chef Jacob Esco from The Grill Room. We'll be back in just a sec.
Signs, so subtle we may not notice them. Signs like loss of interest in activities. Signs like insomnia, fatigue, or withdrawing from friends.
Hey, Jeremy, come play cards with us.
Even talking about wanting to die. These are signs of depression.
Hi, my name is Smitty. My husband, Congressman Jerry Connolly, and I urge you to take signs of depression seriously. Let your loved one know you care, then seek help from a doctor or mental health professional.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Every year, thousands in the D.C. metro community come to the Salvation Army in need of help. In fact, in 2012 alone, the Salvation Army of the National Capital Region aided 81,946 individuals living across the greater Washington region. Crisis, hunger, and homelessness can happen anytime to virtually anyone. So when you see their bell ringers and red kettles out this holiday season, make a donation and feel good knowing you're contributing to the well-being of your friends, neighbors, and the greater Washington community.
This is Nikki Nellis, and I've got co-host Jeff Black with me today.
Hello.
Out with a bum knee, and I got Jeff Black with me.
I'm glad to be here.
I know, lucky me.
A lot of fun.
Hasn't gotten too crazy just yet, but I feel like it's coming.
It is coming.
I have a sense that it's coming.
You know what, with me, it's always coming.
Right, I know. It could be worse. All right, so Robert, we want to get back to you and talk about the kinds of grapes that are grown in Bulgaria, because I think people, again, as we said in the beginning, like, I mean, Jeff Black, when you walked in, was like, wine's from Bulgaria.
And we get that a lot.
But so it has this longstanding history. Tell us about the kind of grapes that are grown there.
Well, as you probably know, Bulgaria, or the Thracian Valley specifically, is located in the 42nd parallel, which pretty much intersects Napa and Oregon, Bordeaux. Old Bulgarian vintners will tell you, you have to pick grapes where they grow by the grace of God, meaning you don't have to struggle. And it's mm-hmm. amazing. You can go to regions there where Cabernet requires irrigation, a lot of work, and it doesn't get to the sugar level that is required. In some areas in Thracian Valley, closer to Greek border, it just grows. And it's mm-hmm. a phenomenal grape, phenomenal quality. So plots matter.
Now, I have to ask, because I'm a big wine guy. So what kind of soil do you have? What kind of techniques do you guys employ? I mean, what is it that makes you all special? Because wine, you're right. You can plant vinifera just about anywhere. And some places it takes, and some places it doesn't. Some places it goes bananas, and some places it needs to be culled and cut back. But what is it that's so unique about your?
It's a great question. I can't speak to the quality of soil. I'm not a specialist. We use specialists for that reason. But I can tell you that microclimate and the research we have done, and the specialists we have spoken to, microclimate is amazing. It's long summer, dry summer days.
Great.
Rhodope Mountains on a south protect from the winds. Balkan gorges protect from winds from Russia and north part. So it's a phenomenal microclimate where Cabernet specifically and Chardonnay grow phenomenally well. Obviously, our intention was to bring the joy of wine to American consumer through the varietals that are well-known. Cabernet, Chardonnay, Syrah, Sauvignon Blanc. The one that you tasted or you're tasting currently, it's our entry-level Thracian white blend, which is 60% Chardonnay. It's made in a very modern facility. Actually, if you see the...
Now, what is Thracian?
Thracian, it's just the name of the Thracian Empire, Thracian tribes that
like
were Thracian gold.
I'm learning new stuff.
It's an amazing history.
Okay, but now what did you pour here?
I poured our signature wine, which is the Imperial Red Blend.
Okay.
We actually recently got 90 points from Michael Franz. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he matters in this studio, but for us, it's good.
Jeff, do you want to tell us what you think about him? No, he doesn't. That's terrific. So
biting time.
That one is unique because it has two Bulgarian varietals in it, Rubin and Mavrud.
Okay. So what is it similar to for people who aren't familiar with those?
Well,
grapes?
It's 60% Merlot.
Okay.
It's a far more complex wine. Listening to Lucas, actually, I hate to use this car analogies, but these wines that you were speaking earlier, these are like Bentleys and Ferraris. We're more of what you're drinking is currently a Volkswagen. Everybody can afford it. It's a good quality.
Right.
It looks decent, but
it's
you can't go
wrong. It's very soft on the palate.
Yeah, it's
yes.
a nice wine.
It's sort of like it was created with an intention that someone walks in like me, who doesn't understand a lot about wines, doesn't have a complex palate, doesn't want to look stupid in front of his guests,
mm-hmm.
grab something that knows that he's not going to break his bank. At the same time, it's a good quality, good structure.
But this is the challenge you will have in American restaurants, and the reality is, as an American consumer and a restaurateur, when people come in the restaurants, they want familiarity. And so to say, I want you to take a familiar flavor on your palate, which is this wine very is. It's a very easy drinking wine. It is. I could sell this wine day in, day out. But if I tell people it's a Bulgarian wine, just like if I tell them it's a Virginia wine, mm-hmm. if I tell them it's a Texas wine, if I tell them it's an Arizona wine, they have skepticism. So that's herein is your challenge.
And at that point, I'm going to have to cut you off.
Okay.
But I do want to get into that. And when we come back to you at the end of the show, I think talking about how you educate people about the region and about the wines is the best way to do
it. The biggest challenge.
Okay, great. But this wine is perfect.
It is.
For what we're eating now.
It is.
Sausages. It's a perfect segue.
It is a very good
wine. So I want to introduce in studio, we have Jamie Stokowski. Jamie, you weren't in studio when I said before you're the Abe Froman of D.C. Did you ever get called that before?
Oh, no, they call me Mr. Delicious.
Oh, my God. Kevin, well, that's twice that you've laughed in studio. And also with him is Chef Jacob Esko. He is with the Grill Room at the Capella Hotel. So we want to thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
So, Jacob, I want to start with you because the Capella opened up late spring this year with a lot of fanfare. It's a very she hotel. And it's got this glorious room that is your restaurant. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, it's a 75-seat restaurant. We got some seating outside over the canal when the weather permits, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a beautiful setting, beautiful location in Georgetown, 31st Street. And it's a grill room. So.
As a restaurateur, I've been in the space, and I'll tell you, it's one of the most beautiful settings in the city. It really is. It's truly.
It's hard to believe there's
phenomenal.
No outdoor dining on that canal other than your restaurant, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it's unbelievable. It is stunning. I mean, everyone's done a great job there.
So tell us about the kind of food you're serving there.
I'm Swedish, but we're doing American food. We're working with local produce, and that's where the collaboration with Jamie Stokowski came. Mm-hmm. We're looking for good local products and. Cooking modern American food.
Now, you don't let Jamie in your restaurant, do you?
Yeah, he doesn't let him in the kitchen.
He comes anyway. He's quite often.
Well, actually, so I took a class with the two of you on the roof deck on that beautiful day on how to make sausages because you guys are working together on your brunch, right, Jacob?
Yes.
So why bring in Jamie just for brunch? Like, what were you looking to do there?
Well, you can't really do a brunch without sausages and charcuterie. And so I was researching before I came to D.C. I came in January, and I was researching before what local butchers there were. And I was recommended that Stokowski is the best. And I went there, I met Jamie, and the sausages he prepares.
Now, look, we know he's the best, but don't tell him that.
Are you kidding? He thinks he's Mr. Delicious. All right, so Jamie and Jeff, you guys are old friends. And Jamie, you were a chef around town for a while. You had your own restaurant. And you used to also sell sausages out of the back of your car for a while there. So
I'll sell sausage anywhere.
Well, thank you for letting us know that. So tell us how
Stokowski's... And by the way, no one can see this, but Jamie is dressed...
He
the
looks
best.
So handsome.
He's dressed for a tan here. He's got his tie. He's got his
Jeff,
red shirt.
Jeff, this modern day, you don't know. Somebody pulls out one of those cameras, their phones. It's
he's
everywhere.
He's going to look good.
You're going to.
If I know I'm going to be in the same room with you.
You definitely one up with me over here.
All right, so Jamie, let's tell people a little bit. I mean, I doubt there's many people who don't know you or Stokowski's, but let's give a little 411 on it.
Well, what I call it is a corner candy store for carnivores.
Okay.
A Hansel and Gretel meat shop.
So are you right, leaving little sausage pieces all the way up?
All the way. You walk up 28th or down P Street and just follow your nose.
Okay.
And you'll come to the corner where Mr. Delicious is doing his work.
Now, do you hand out Crestor?
No,
that's the mint ball.
Hey, the sign on the door says everybody responsible for their own health.
The mint ball
their own cholesterol.
Crestar.
Don't you like
that's
that?
Fantastic.
Excellent. All right, so
by the way, these sausages are delicious, by the way.
They are delicious. Well, we'll get through what the sausages are, but let's start with like what's at Stokowski. So you're a full-blown butcher shop?
Full-blown butcher shop. Delicatessen with, you know, just ginormous sandwiches,
mm-hmm.
European old world style sandwiches.
Is that actually a word?
What's that?
Ginormous.
Ginormous. It is a
word. Sure it is. I just made it up. It's radio.
It's a word.
Is it a word?
Yeah,
is it a word?
Absolutely.
I would like clarification
we'll look
on
it up.
That.
We'll look
no,
it up
but the deal with the deli is we make all. I challenge you to find another charcuterie or prepared meat case where 85% of the meat in that case, and it's an 8-foot case, it's chock full. We make. Okay, we make all the salami cotto, the mortadellas, all the pates, all the sausages, mm-hmm. cooked sausages, all the cured pancetta, brazzola, all these things. That's what differentiates, sets us apart from everybody else or the other butcher shops that are opening up everywhere seems to be.
Right.
Is, you know, we do have the fresh meat, all the wonderful meat, but mm-hmm. that case in particular, the sandwiches are going to feed a family.
Right.
And, of course, the retail in the front.
Well, now, so that the two of you are working together and you are doing sausages specific, I mean, where'd your passion for sausage come from?
Well, the name like Stokowski, it's a family endeavor, you know, right from the get-go.
He is passionate.
He is passionate about his sausage.
I know.
I tell people all the time,
this is a family-friendly
like,
show,
sausage,
Jeff.
You want to buy sausage.
No, but I mean... Why did you just get that?
It took me a second. I caught that after.
I'll give you a hint. This is the greatest compliment my sister pays me. She okay. comes over and she says, "You smell like Papa."
Aw, that is nice.
That's my grandfather.
So your family has been making sausages
just
forever.
Just making sausage. Raised birds, lots of capons, European ducks and capons. We'd have a calf or two.
Mm-hmm.
We'd butcher them, slaughter them. I mean, we come from a big Polish family, you know, 9 aunts and uncles, 27 grandkids or cousins,
mm-hmm.
and then everybody partook, and everybody got some capons, duck blood for chanina, kielbasa, whatever.
So what are you getting over to the hotel? What are they? What's going into this
well,
brunch?
Well, Jacob came to me and he said, "Hey, I want to do this wonderful brunch and we're in Georgetown together, so let's feature your products."
There you go.
And I just brought out a bunch of different sausages and he just said, "Hey, tweak this one for me."
That's what I was going to ask. Jacob, were you looking for certain profiles in some of the sausages, like certain flavors?
Yes, and I mean, me and Jamie, we speak regular basis, and we rotate
he
the
lets
sausages.
You talk?
he's very stubborn with his recipes, of course, but we feature maybe 10 of his products on any given day,
mm-hmm.
and not only brunch, we also use his chorizo for dinners,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. So of course, he's changing seasonal sausages and.
Talk about a better burger. There's a better sausage. We built better sausage.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so we're going to take close. A quick break. But when we come back, we can talk a little bit about our conversation earlier with Evan Wexler from Steakhouse Elite. And, Jamie, what you thought about what he had to say about the kind of beef he does, given that you have a butcher shop and the kind of beef that you sell
there.
Yeah,
I'd love to get your feedback on that.
We'd love to hear what
sure,
you have to say about
certainly.
It. This is Nikki Nellis with co-host Jeff Black. We'll be back in just a sec.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. When is the last time you went to bed hungry? Right here in the Washington metro area, nearly 150,000 children are going to bed hungry each night. Help the Capital Area Food Bank make this holiday season special for children in need. For every dollar you donate, the food bank can provide 3 meals. Visit capitalareafoodbank.org or call 202-644-9800 to make a donation today.
Do you miss the joy of reading because of blindness or disability? Here's great news about Choice Magazine Listening, a free talking magazine. You'll hear outstanding articles and stories chosen from leading publications such as The New Yorker, National Geographic, Smithsonian, Time, Sports Illustrated, and many more. Please call 1-888-7-CHOICE or on the web www.choicemagazinelistening.org.
Losing more than just spare change in your laundry? By upgrading your old washer to an energy-efficient model, you can save up to $625 over the washer's lifetime. The DC Sustainable Energy Utility offers discounts and rebates on energy-efficient lighting and appliances that can save you energy and money. Last year, the DCSU served 19,000 district households through renewable and efficient energy services. Call 202-479-2222 or visit dcseu.com to start saving money and energy today.
Hello, this is Peter Bergman. Please join WTOP, Bergman's Cleaning, and the Salvation Army for the 22nd annual Share the Warmth Coats for Kids and the Needy. If you have one or more cold weather coats, please donate them for this worthy cause by calling Bergman's Cleaning. Bergman's will clean and deliver them to the Salvation Army for distribution to the needy in the Washington metro area. Thanks to you, over 500,000 coats have been collected since 1991. Make this year's coat drive a success by calling Bergman's at 703-247-7600. Thank you.
Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. This is Nikki Nellis. I have co-host guest Jeff Black with me today.
Hello.
Hi.
Back again.
And David Nellis is listening. I've gotten some notes from him on what he thinks.
Uh-oh. He's going to give me a bunch of critique.
Yeah.
I always give him a hard time, so it's good.
We do want to do a couple quick shout-outs to our advertisers and thank them so much for participating and supporting the show. We've got Georgetown Bakery, NRG Restaurant Group. You all know them. Rustico, Evening Star, Tallulah, Vermilion, Buzz, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, Church Key, and all their new restaurants, including Artisanal and Iron Gate. Founding Farmers, Farmers and Fishers, Union Market. Blacks was an early on supporter when we did live remotes
Indeed.
With him. Early Mountain Vineyards, Carpenter Shelter, the American Land Board, and the Virginia Wine Board. So we have great supporters that help us here at Foodie
all,
and the
all
Beast.
Very strong.
Yes, thank you so
big,
much.
Big part of the community.
All right, well, Jamie and Jacob, we want to get back to you. Jeff, I know
I,
you...
I got a question with Jamie.
Yes.
All right, so Jamie, what's your personal opinion about Wagyu versus Kobe and how it gets labeled, how it gets presented, and how it's marketed in the United States?
You know, I don't really have a... I can give you my personal opinion on the taste of Wagyu versus what we're pre-programmed to like in this country. We're pre-programmed, our palates, if you want to say hardwired, to desire corn-fed beef.
But don't you think that's changing?
I don't know. I don't. Maybe slightly.
I mean, don't you feel that grass-fed and pasture-raised, I mean, these buzzwords are really, you know...
Buzzwords.
They're buzzwords, but buzzwords. I feel like more and more people are asking for that kind of product.
Like, I give people
I mean, you
grass-fed.
Would know more
they
than I would.
They come in, they ask for grass-fed. I give them grass-fed. They come back, and they're like, ooh, that was strong.
Okay. It's too, what is it, too gamey?
Well, it's gamey. I mean, there's a lot of different factors in this. But
okay.
Just to answer your question, I mean...
Straight to the Wagyu.
Right.
This is a hot button for me as a chef because I feel that there's some misrepresentation going on.
There's all misdirection, misrepresentation, sleight of hand, everything going on with the labeling, the branding, the marketing.
That's so how do our consumers stay safe?
How do they
know what they're getting? How do they know that they're getting the right stuff?
I'm not sure they do. One way they can find out or know for certain, 100% certainty, is come visit Stokowski.
Yeah.
And talk to Mr. Delicious. He is not going to steer you wrong. He's going to point to, no, but that's what
wait,
I get
wait.
To.
Well, so wait, let me ask you a question. Yeah. So at your butcher shop,
right?
What kind of product, other than the ones that you make, but what kind of product are you selling?
Okay, well, we do have some local 100% grass-fed. I have to have it there for the people who demand it. But just like this local movement, the local vore thing, the very first thing it has to be for me is it has to be delicious.
Right.
I don't care if it came from Timbuktu. If it's not delicious, I'm not going to sell it.
Okay.
So everything else is almost irrelevant.
So he's not passionate at all about
this.
No,
not at all.
But the point, the very simple truth to me, from my palate, the difference between Wagyu and American grain-fed beef is the difference between butter and margarine.
And which do you prefer?
They both have texture.
Do you like margarine?
You know, a lot of them say
butter. Do you like margarine or butter?
Wait, we're trying to figure out.
I like butter. Who doesn't
like butter?
So is that corn-fed
for you? So which
one's
margarine?
Corn-fed. Listen, you can say it has a buttery flavor, or I mean texture. They do have buttery texture. It is soft. It is just as soft or maybe even softer, but it just doesn't have the same rich fat that prime corn-fed does, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Close your eyes and taste it.
Okay, but
yes,
don't
but,
you feel?
But.
I mean, I buy grass-fed for several reasons. I mean,
I sell grass-fed grain-finished.
I don't mind the grain.
Okay, now there's the point.
I think what we're talking
right
about.
What,
no,
I know my farmers, and they'll grain them for 3 weeks. And they get the fat content.
They're all grass-fed. They're all grass-fed, baby. They all start out eating grass.
But
what?
He's talking about big ag.
High protein grass. They're not eating generic grass.
All right.
And if you
I have to cut this off.
Take up high protein grass,
it goes down into a spiral really quick, this conversation.
All right. We are going to have to redo.
It's
going to
need a whole program.
I need
have
you
ever had Randall's?
Look at me. We're almost done with the show. I have to get back to Robert. We're going to have this conversation at another time.
Let's do it.
Jamie, I'm going to bring you back in studio. Jeff, David will be here, but you can come back in studio too.
I'm coming back.
I want to get to Robert because we need to talk about Bulgariana wine. So wait, just quickly, Jamie, just tell people where they can find Stokowski's.
On the corner of 28th and P, right in the heart of Georgetown, or at StokowskiMarket.com.
Excellent. And Jacob, where can everybody find you?
31st Street in Georgetown off M Street.